Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Jeff, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Well, great to be back. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, so David Taylor does the expected, wins the series 2-0 over Valencia, and so onward and upward for him.
Yeah, and I think David really looked good, Steve. I know Valencia, that, you know, that first match was competitive and close score wise, but I think David really got a nice feel for what he wanted to do after that first match and the second one, and you saw him really get his offense going in that first period. It took him a while then to get the second takedown. Had a couple of good opportunities, but you know, Valencia is really, really good. I mean, he's a different level guy. But, you know, David, I think right now is one of three or four guys on the U.S. team that are just a whole nother world of good right now. And David is just wrestling as well as he's ever wrestled.
Yeah, he won 10-0 to win the series 2-0. And then Kyle Dake is still there, and he's still a roadblock for Jason Nolf. I think that's fair to say. And Nolf wrestled in tough. I mean, you were talking about being 2-1.
Yeah, and I really thought Jason, in both of those matches, Jason wrestled really good matches and really gave Kyle a run for his money. You know, he had the only takedown in that first match, even though he lost 4-2, but you know, Kyle is just really, really hard to score on, and that's always been the case. And you know, I do think Jason obviously made some significant adjustments from their previous meeting when Dake, you know, I think it took him what 20 seconds or 25 seconds to beat him by tech the last time they met, and Jason obviously had a better feel for what he needed to do. But listen, again, there's a reason that the Kyle Dakes and the David Taylors are where they are. They know how to win, and they know how to win. You know, they know how to open it up if they can, but they also know how to win those close ones. And, you know, on one hand, I think if you're Jason, you're saying, oh, man, I'm this close. On the other hand, if you're Dake, you're saying, no, I have all of these guys in the field. I just know how to win it.
Well, in fact, you know, you can almost say the same about Jordan Burroughs, who had to go to round three to finally beat Chance Marsteller. But again, in three, he won, and that's after he lost by criteria in round two.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the way Chance came back in that second match. I mean, I was impressed with the way he wrestled in the first match. But, yeah, Burroughs is going for some history here. If he can get another world championship, he's going to establish himself. At least by credentials, as the greatest freestyle American wrestler in history. And, you know, he's obviously very special. But, Steve, to me, Chance Marsteller is just one of the great stories right now in U.S. wrestling. When you look at, you know, the opportunities that he kind of let get away because of some life decisions and some things that got away from him. But really addressing those issues head on. If you get the chance to meet and talk with him, he just is a really impressive guy now. Knows that he went about as off the rails as you could get there for a few years. And you know, I think was in danger of letting his life slip away. I mean, I think it was that type of seriousness where, you know, you were afraid he was going to make a decision that was going to end his life. And now, you know, he's really found himself, is sober and absolutely committed. And, you know, he and Burroughs are both now what you want in terms of representing USA Wrestling. But in terms of a redemption story, I just think Chance Marsteller and what he's doing at this level is really good stuff.
Well, there are also a couple other guys, true third national team spots to get them on the national team. We'll start with Mark Hall, who in the 86 freestyle beat Trent Hidley 6-4. Again, that's progress for him on the tour.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Mark that win is significant because of the stipend money and because it keeps him, you know, on the travel squad there with those guys. And that's a big deal when you're trying to, you know, take that final last big step and become the world team member. And So that was a big win for him. And I think, you know, he really steadied himself after a tough matchup. And Valencia has always been a tough matchup for him. And I think rebounding in any event to get third is significant, because it's a hard thing to do when your mindset is to be the guy on the team and you know that that's gone. To come back then and beat you know, whoever it's going to be, you know, is going to be a tough competitor. But it's again, I think it's another it's a good win and another significant step for Mark Hall as he continues to try to build toward, you know, his career culminating with a spot on the world team.
And Curtis Storace in a walkover with Vincenzo Joseph, but Nico Megalutis lost in a walkover as well. So, I mean, let's talk about Curtis Storace's path.
Yeah, I tell you, Steve, I continue to be just really, really impressed with Carter and the adjustments he makes. And, you know, Mars Teller, I mean, he was right there with Mars Teller. It was a terrific match in the, you know, at the U.S. Open, and not much separating those two. And as we saw, there's not a lot separating Mars Teller from Burroughs now. But Storace is still on the very early side of his career here. I mean, from a freestyle standpoint, you know, we're probably 8-9 years away from Storace hitting what is normally your prime as a freestyle wrestler.
Right.
So for him to be right there with guys that are, you know, more experienced and on the world stage. And again, he's one of these wrestlers, Steve, that he just picks things up every time he's out there. And so I just think the experience for him is going to be huge. And again, we saw it when he traveled to the Olympics as a training partner for David Taylor. He is a guy that is going to get the most out of these opportunities. He, when they were over at the Olympics, I mean, he was seeking out anybody and everybody that had won a medal or had any kind of world credential from any team and saying, do you want to just roll around for a little while? And so he is a guy that you know is going to capitalize on the opportunity here and the experience to be on that travel squad and just continue to get better. And again, I, you know, it's early and I don't want to put undue pressure on him.
Sure.
But I really think Carter Storace at this point, Steve, is on a trajectory and has a chance to go down. And this is with David Taylor about to try to become a two-time Olympic gold medalist in a couple of years here. I think Carter Storace is on a track right now to be considered the greatest wrestler in Penn State history. And again, that's a huge track to be on when you look at the last decade or so here of the program.
Well, now let's get to the future of Penn State wrestling. Alex Facundo went out and won the under 20 freestyle crown in Las Vegas, and he was the outstanding wrestler out there. What were the reports you got on Alex?
Yeah, Steve, he's another guy that just he has that offensive mindset that you want and you love to see. And he's one of those guys that, you know, kind of like David Taylor, that the freestyle and folk style just easily transitions because he's just a takedown master and he's just so offensive oriented and fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, he's a guy that again is on track to be the next great one here. Obviously is expected anyway to be in the starting lineup for the first time next year as a redshirt freshman, but he's just special, Steve. He's the guy that you know, does all of the things that all of the great ones here under Cal have done in terms of work ethic, understanding what's being asked, and a guy that just has a genuine passion and a desire to be the best and to do whatever that takes. But the biggest thing with him is, again, much like David Taylor and Jason Nolf, just that offensive mindset where it's just it's always about scoring more points and there's just never any satisfaction with him after, you know, even after he dominates an opponent. It's always, okay, this is what I can work on and improve on and make adjustments on for the next time I'm out.
All right. We just went through Final X, and, of course, the next up will be Belgrade, September 10th through the 18th. What does this tell us, though, about the depth now of USA Wrestling? Because we're seeing so many interesting bouts and not dominant ones.
Yeah, and Stephen, we're seeing the U.S. have as much, if not more, success than it's ever had on the international stage. And so the fact that you have that competitiveness in the U.S. Open and in Final X, I think, is really significant and speaks volumes about the depth right now that USA Wrestling is creating. And, you know, I think it's a credit to all of the regional training centers. I mean, you look at, you go back to Bobby Douglas starting things with Sunkist out in Arizona, and that was significant, and all of the East Coast. And now you see what Cale and Tom Brands are doing with their regional training centers. And so, you know, a lot of these college programs now are affiliated with these regional training centers. And so you're getting elite guys going against elite guys on a regular basis. And, you know, it's the whole metal sharpens metal aspect to development. And I just think, I don't think there's any question right now that USA Wrestling is in the best position it's ever been in terms of competitiveness on the international stage and, you know, elite competitiveness from within the country.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate you very much, Jeff.
Thank you, Steve.